The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Rivka Skidmore from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Flavor is about helping you live a healthier, happier lifestyle. Nine easy ways to practice self-care this week. Tips and ideas for how to spend quality you time, especially when life gets extra tough, by Christine Thompson. Between long hours at work, weekend chores, dinner plans with friends, and time for your family, your calendar is overflowing. But can you remember a time the last time you took an hour, maybe even two, for yourself? If you had to think longer than a few seconds, you may want to consider taking a step back and reevaluating your schedule. Prioritizing everyone else in your life may seem honorable, but the reality is, totally neglecting yourself isn't good for anyone. In order to take care of others, you first need to take care of yourself. It's kind of like the safety messages on airplanes. In the event of an emergency, please put on your oxygen mask before assisting others. So whether you're facing a rough patch or simply going through the day-to-day grind, self-care should always be on your agenda. Need some inspiration on how to spend your me time? Here are some self-care practices that the editors at Health swear by. Sweat it out. It's the answer you always hear, but making time every day to do exercise is my form of self-care. I'm a firm believer in that saying, you're only one workout away from a good mood. In particular, boxing is a huge physical and mental release for me, and bar classes take me back to ballet days, which feel especially therapeutic. My other self-care move is curling up in my giant fuzzy blanket and watching Sex and the City reruns. It's mindless, relaxing, and feels great sometimes, says Jacqueline Andrikos, associate editor. Tune in to YouTube. When I'm feeling down, I typically turn to my favorite form of escapism, YouTube videos. Having a moment when I can just veg out, slap on calming sheet mask, and watch a video by one of my favorite YouTubers, looking at you, Estee Lunda, and soothing sister, allows me to momentarily get out of my own head. It might sound silly, but just like reading a good book, watching a good YouTube video takes me out of my own world and puts me into someone else's, even if it's for just 10 minutes. It's enough time for me to put in my thoughts and feelings into perspective, and luckily, if I need more than 10 minutes of downtime, there's a whole YouTube world out there waiting for me to enjoy, says Julia Nuftelin, editorial assistant. Creating a relaxing routine. I've recently started a new nighttime self-care routine I think has been helping me de-stress and fall asleep a little more easily. Step 1, turn off the TV around 10 and force myself to stop refreshing my Facebook feed. Step 2, make a cup of chamomile. Step 3, turn off all the lights in my bedroom, light a few candles, and set up my yoga mat. Step 4, do bedtime yoga sequence from Yoga by Adrienne. It's a 36-minute gentle yoga routine that includes moves to help you unwind and relax, plus a short meditation to set your intentions for the following day, says Kathleen Moltpeter. Grabbing some knitting needles. Lately, I've been doing a lot of knitting. At first, it was for practical reasons, making my husband a scarf for Christmas. But I've found it has emotional benefits, too. The repetitive motion is super soothing, almost meditative, and it's great before bed wind-down activity. I'm just bad enough a knitter that I have to concentrate a little on what I'm doing. I can't knit on autopilot, so it's very absorbing. I can be sitting on the couch or at the sidelines during my kids' sporting activities and find 30 minutes has gone by without me even noticing. That's the satisfaction of having something real and tactile to show for my time. Best of all, it keeps both hands busy so I stay off my phone, says Jeannie Kim. A few years ago, I was going through a rough patch in my life and decided to take up knitting at night when I was having a hard time sleeping. My aunt taught me the basic stitch when I was a teenager, so I went to my local Michael store and bought a bright, chunky ball of yarn and got started. Since then, I've knit scarves for everyone I love, and this winter, I'm planning on paying it forward with a knitting circle making scarves for the homeless in New York, says Marianne Barone. Escape with friends. There's nothing better than coming home after a long day, lighting some great-smelling candles, having a cup of tea, and reading a good book in my bed. If I'm not in the mood to focus on a book, instead I'll put on Friends or some other happy, funny TV show in the background and play games on my iPad. I could do that for days, says Chelsea Hamilton. Pound the pavement. If I can, I head out for a run, especially in cold weather. A run is very meditative for me. Hearing each foot strike and a steady breath can be especially grounding. And someone who can't sit still, classic meditation and breathing exercises do nothing for me to relax. Running is a huge confidence boost. I feel powerful and in control of my body and mind. In training for races, I forgot how much a run can absolutely turn around my perspective. When you're going out for a predetermined amount of miles, at a certain pace, on already tired legs, it can feel like a chore. But last week, when I was feeling stressed and antsy, I decided to head out the door and run for however long I felt like it. I came back feeling relaxed and recentered, says Allison Mango. Pick up a good read. I know it sounds cliche, but getting lost in a book is one of my favorite forms of self-care. With a 2-year-old at home, I don't have much time to read, but a sneak in 10 minutes here and there, on the bus while my son naps, before bed. Right now, I'm halfway through Amy Schumer's The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo, and it's exactly the escape I need, by Catherine Di Benedetto. Laugh at what you know. For me, self-care is curling up on the couch and watching a TV show that makes me laugh. When I'm feeling stressed, my go-tos are reruns of Seinfeld, Parks and Recreation, 30 Rock, and The Office. I've seen all the episodes more times than I can count, but that's the beauty of it. Watching them helps shut off the negative part of my brain for a while, says Christine Mathias. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And now a recipe for ricotta and sausage stuffed bell peppers by Emily at bentobloggy.com. Cook time, about 30 minutes. The level is easy, and this serves too. This is a creamy and satisfying recipe, an entire meal in one hollowed out veggie. Ingredients. You'll need 2 red, orange, or yellow bell peppers, a whole egg, 2 tablespoons and 2 teaspoons of ricotta cheese, 1 teaspoon of Italian herbs, 1/3 a teaspoon of garlic powder, salt and pepper to taste, 1 teaspoon of olive oil, 1 1/3 whole chicken or pork sausage chopped, 1/3 of a medium onion chopped, and 1 cup of fresh chopped spinach. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Begin by neatly trimming the tops off of the bell peppers and setting them aside. You may also need to slightly trim off the bottoms of the peppers so they can stand on their own. Remove the seeds and pull out the white veins. In a mixing bowl, combine eggs, ricotta, herbs, garlic powder, salt, and pepper. Mix well and set aside. In a pan over medium-high heat, sauté a little olive oil in the onion and sausage until the onion is translucent and the sausage is slightly browned. Then add spinach with a little salt and pepper and cook until wilted. Remove from heat and add 1 spoonful from the pan into the ricotta egg mixture and stir immediately. We're tempering the ricotta egg so the eggs don't scramble. Continuing doing this spoon by spoon for about half the pan, and then add the rest of the egg mixture and mix well. Spoon the cheese mixture evenly into hollow-belled peppers and place on a non-stick baking sheet. Place the baking sheet in your 400-degree oven and try to put the tops next to each pepper in the oven. Monitor them so they don't overbrown and bake for 30 to 40 minutes until the cheese is bubbly on top. This recipe is creamy and filling at the same time. I served with a side of mashed potatoes, some roasted acorn squash, and my husband walked around the kitchen while I was making them, looking nervous and scared. He does not like peppers. He ate just the filling, but my 4-year-old ended up eating everything, including the pepper. This is really simple to make, and so good, healthy, and gluten-free. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. 5 simple exercises that'll transform your body in just 4 weeks. Everybody seems to be raving about health and fitness these days. And while many people choose to go down the road of expensive gym memberships, special equipment, and magic supplements, there are also those who like to keep it simple, eat less but healthy, and perform bodyweight exercises at their home. And who gets better results? You guessed it. In general, the people who don't forget that the focus of the goal is themselves and manage to introduce healthier habits into their existing lifestyle without relying too much on the outside tools and trends are the people who achieve sustainable progress and lead happier lives. In this article, we'd like to encourage you to stop worrying about whether you should start performing this or miraculous exercise to try to lay the superfood with sensational fat loss properties, and just go back to the basics. The best solution to the greatest problems are usually right in front of our noses. If you do these 5 exercises every day, you'll start seeing improvements in your waistline size and overall body composition in less than a month. It's obvious you won't get that body of your dreams in a short period, especially if you have a lot of excess weight, but we guarantee you'll feel like you're one huge step closer to this once unattainable goal. So here we go. The plank. The plank is one of the greatest and most underrated exercises ever. It's practically a one-move static exercise that helps you build a core of steel, ribbed abs, and strong shoulders. Just get into a push-up position on the floor. Bend your elbows 90 degrees and prop yourself up on your elbows, forearms, and forefeet, forming a straight line from head to feet. Hold it for as long as you can without moving your waist or your butt. The push-up. The push-up is an ultimate bodyweight exercise that utilizes literally every major muscle in your body, therefore helping you firm your whole body. Get into the plank position, placing your hands directly under your shoulders, and push your whole body up, maintaining a straight line with the legs, back, and butt. Lower your body down the same way and repeat. Squats. Squats help you build your quads, hams, and calves, while also strengthening your whole core and enhancing greater overall fat burning. For a standard squat, your feet should be shoulder-width apart or slightly wider. Extend your hands out in front of you. Sit back and down, keeping your head facing forward. Make sure that your back doesn't round. Keep lowering yourself until your thighs are parallel to the floor, if possible. Press back up through your heels. The bird dog. From a plank position, prop yourself up on your knees and hands and simultaneously stretch one leg and the opposite arm, maintaining both perfectly straight. Hold for a moment and then lower them down and repeat with the other leg and arm. This exercise increases core strength in both your abs and your lower back. Lying hip raises. The lying hip raise is the perfect bodyweight exercise for a powerful glute and hamstring while strengthening your abs, back, and thighs. Lie on your back on the floor with your bent knees and feet flat. Extend your arms out to your side at a 45-degree angle. Squeeze your glutes and lift your hips towards the ceiling, making sure to tilt your pelvis. Lift them as high as possible, squeezing your glutes, and then lower yourself down and repeat. This 4-week plan consists of 2 separate workouts. 1 minute do your plank, 1 minute do push-ups, for 2 minutes do squats, 1 minute a bird dog, 1 minute hip raises, 1 minute plank, 1 minute push-up, 2 minute squats, and rest for 10 seconds between exercises. Workout 2 is 3 minutes of plank, 3 minutes of bird dogs, 3 minutes of lying hip raises, and 1 minute of push-ups. Rest for 15 seconds between exercises. This is performed 6 times per week, followed by a rest day. If you perform this program, you'll be very surprised with your results. Your body will be stronger and tighter, and you'll feel better. Your health will improve significantly. Of course, as long as you pair the workouts with healthy meals and plenty of water. So why not give it a try and see for yourself? You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Baby steps to clean living. What a better way to kick off the new year and clean up your diet, home, and lifestyle? I'm not talking about getting down and scrubbing your floors. I'm talking about your daily life. Take steps to reduce the amount of daily toxins in your routine. When I asked you all for feedback on a Facebook page, I realized that when I say detox, many people think of a restrictive detox diet or cleanse, and some people love and other people fear. Detoxify, a verb, to remove toxic substances or qualities from. Detoxifying is simply the act of removing toxics from our daily life, whether it be through food, rituals, habits, home, or beauty products. My hope is with this, through my own experience and research, I can provide a few baby steps to help you live a cleaner, healthier life. When you consider the incredible amount of environmental toxins we encounter each day, it can be overwhelming and quite frightening. As my usual style here, we'll be taking small steps and making easy swaps to reduce our toxin load and rejuvenate our bodies in the new year. This isn't about being scared and overwhelmed. It's about being informed and proactive, all while maintaining a healthy, balanced mindset. Strive for progress, not perfection. A little disclaimer. If you're already super eco-friendly, 100% natural, and all organic all the time, this may not be in depth for you. There are plenty of other experts like Food Babe, Mama Natural, Living Pretty Naturally, and Wellness Mama who take this to the next level. So today we're going to kick off clean eating. Food rule number 19. If it came from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. Mikhail Pollan. What is clean eating? Clean eating is definitely a buzzword these days, but one I stand behind 100%. Clean eating is actually quite simple. It means eating food in its most natural state, or as close to it as possible. It's about eating real food and not processed food with a list of ingredients you don't recognize. For a product to carry a health claim on its package, it must first have a package. So right off the bat, it's more likely to be processed than a whole food. It's quite simple, really. If there's one food rule I follow, this is it. Eating real food will do incredible things for your health and your waistline. Instead of a granola bar, have a Lara bar. Instead of store-bought coffee creamer, use a little cream and cinnamon and vanilla. Instead of a frozen breakfast sandwich, fry an egg and grass-fed butter and eat it on sprouted wheat toast. Instead of a candy bar, have a piece of dark chocolate. Instead of store-bought flavored water, pour a glass of sparkling water and fresh berries. Since this is about baby steps, I want to remind you that you don't have to take an all-or-nothing approach to clean eating, especially when it comes to buying organic. If you don't have the budget to eat all organic foods, try the following Environmental Working Group's Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen are foods with the highest toxin pesticide count, and Clean 15 have the lowest. This is a helpful guide when trying to decide whether to buy organic and when to buy conventional. The Dirty Dozen are the worst, and you want to buy these as organic. Celery, peaches, strawberries, apples, blueberries, nectarines, bell peppers, spinach, cherries, kale or collard greens, potatoes, and grapes. The Clean 15 are lowest in pesticides. Onions, avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, mangoes, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, honeydew, and melon. On a personal note, I make a real effort to buy almost all organic foods these days. Now I know what I see it as the most important things I can do for my family's health. Because of this, I spend a lot of money on food, but I have chosen to spend that money now rather than saving it for medical bills that could have been avoided. I choose to splurge less in other areas, like clothing or fancy beauty products, because this is important to me. So when possible, eat real food, food that is perishable, and food that is fresh. Eat food that will eventually rot. Mikhail Pollan. And now, a recipe for a maple chai roasted chickpeas snack. The prep time is about 10 minutes, and the cook time is about 38 minutes. This serves 6. You're going to need 2 cups chickpeas, or garbanzo beans, drained, rinsed, and dried. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of pure maple syrup, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of cardamom, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/4 teaspoon of Himalayan salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. Preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Combine chickpeas, oil, maple syrup, ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, salt, and pepper in a medium bowl. Toss gently to blend. Place chickpeas on a large baking sheet in a single layer. Bake for 35 to 38 minutes, shaking the baking sheet every 10 minutes until brown and crunchy. Mmm. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. How to simplify your wardrobe. This is by Catherine Sepamaki. Have you ever thought that maybe it was time to simplify your wardrobe? I went through that. It was a good thing. I don't know why, but something comes over me every spring, an overwhelming urge to organize my closets. Now, to be fully honest, I used to be a closet stuffer, the kind of person who had so many clothes in her closet that she had to physically stuff them in to hang them up and fit them all in. And I had so many other things stuffed into every nook and cranny of my closet that I'm amazed I could even walk into it. But I realized that I was fighting to fish out a few articles of clothing I actually wore on a regular basis, and I no longer knew exactly what was in my closet, because it had become a junk depository. I knew it was time to simplify my wardrobe. I gave my closet intervention. I took an entire weekend, cleared out my closet, and set some rules to keep overgrowth from occurring. So what did I do to thin out my closet clutter? I cleared off all the shelves, sorted through all the items, and classified them in 3 groups: keep, donate, throw away. I sorted through my shoes, decided which shoes I still wore on a regular basis, and donated or threw away the ones that weren't suitable to donate. I really didn't need 30 pairs of shoes. Really. Looked through my clothes, and I tried on everything in my closet. If it was stained or had holes, it got thrown away or cut down for rags. If it didn't fit, it got tossed in a donate pile. If I didn't like it, it got donated. Because why wear something that doesn't make you feel good, right? That still left me with more clothes than I needed, so I decided to try a surefire way to sort through more clothes. I hung the remaining clothes with the hangers backwards on the rack. In a year, any clothes on hangers that were still backwards got donated. This really cut down on the clothes I have in my closet. I was amazed to realize that I don't really wear that many of the clothes I own, so why keep them? I go through this process at least once a year. It took me a while, but I realized of all the things that were gathering dust in my closet, they'd be much better off being used by others who could actually benefit using them, especially if I'm not. So donating to charities like Goodwill, Salvation Army, and other local charities that can make a difference with the used items just makes sense. And don't forget to get a receipt, because you can write off donations on your taxes. I do a yearly closet intervention each year, not just my master closet, but every closet and cupboard in the house. And did you know that clutter in your house can actually affect you on a psychological level as well? Clutter can contribute to excessive stress, and stress in any form can ultimately affect your health and contribute to illness. So anything you can do to reduce stress can keep you healthy. So when thinking about closets in your house, do you need to give yourself closet intervention? Do you have clutter in your closet that's only taking up space and stressing you out? Make time to overhaul your closet and simplify your wardrobe. Plan your closet makeover in advance, and give yourself plenty of time to weed out the things in your closet, especially if it hasn't been done in a while. Donate the things that you're no longer using, so that others can benefit from them. If you aren't sure about an article of clothing, turn your hanger around backwards. In a year, see how many items you actually wear. And be sure to enlist your spouse, partner, family members, and friends to help organize if you can. That'll make the job much easier. If it seems a little overwhelming, break it down into more manageable chunks. Clean off one shelf, half a rack at a time. Make it easier for yourself so you don't feel overwhelmed. Giving yourself a closet intervention can help you simplify your wardrobe and you'll feel much less stressed and lighter. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel once you've finished and looked into your closet and see how much space you've gained. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Here are 5 simple tips to help start living a greener and cleaner lifestyle. Ready or not, here's to you learning, growing, and changing one baby step at a time. Just eat real food. This is a big one. Seems like a no-brainer, but it's surprising how many people it's not. Instead of having every meal come out of a box, wrapper, or value meal, prepare your food. Shop on the outer aisles of the grocery store instead of the inner will help you steer clear of many chemicals and fake food. Make your own cleaning products. This is one I thoroughly enjoyed. I'm weird. But seriously, I'm obsessed with having a clean house, and I do like to clean. So if you're switching out your chemical-laden products, this might not be such a chore. This is important, especially having kiddos around. Who wants to be dealing with toxic products when you have a 3-year-old? Not me. My challenge to you is to remove one cleaning product a month that's mainstream and replace it with a healthy alternative. Switch out your beauty products. This may be daunting for people. It's baby steps, not a sprint. Beauty products can include anything from what you put on for makeup to the lotion to what you lather your body to deodorant. It all goes on your body, and it's all touching your skin. And your skin absorbs 60% of whatever you put on it. Educate yourself. This is the best piece of advice I could give you, and the one thing I want you to take away with you. If you're determined to never stop learning about living cleaner in a greener lifestyle, you will definitely always be changing. Isn't it crazy? The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And finally, invest in a quality water filter. They say you can survive 3 weeks without food, but only 3 days without water. That's important for how our body is for water. Not only is it vital to drink enough water every day, but it's even more vital that it's filtered. So whatever it is in the water is also going into your body. So what's in your water? Bacteria, heavy metals, pesticides. Drinking these contaminants day in and day out is only a recipe for problems. So do yourself and family a favor. Invest in a quality water filter. Run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Rivka Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Flavor.